our Father again. We fix to open this book for a few moments, and we pray that you would give us understanding, Lord, a short message tonight as we come together for our 44th birthday and go to the fellowship hall in a few minutes and have refreshments. I pray you'd be honored in all that's said and done. Help us grow when we come here. Lord, we need information that we can be transformed in our mind, go back into that world and prove what is those things that God has said and done, accepted will for our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll be here for just a few moments, and then we'll be dismissing and going over to the fellowship hall for some refreshments. But you heard me say before, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is my life verse. It's a precious verse, and it simply goes like this: I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Before I actually get into that, though, I want to talk tonight about working at a Bible-believing church. And this verse tells me something. And by the way, the amazing thing about this verse, where it's written, because some people don't understand it, let me just say this before I get into that. When you talk about churches today, you have this form, what they call mega churches, and then you have what they call just churches. Now, any church that's large and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is a wonderful place to be. Amen. Any place that where, you know, if you have 1,000 or 2 and you're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's a wonderful place to be. But in a lot of the mega churches, there's a social gospel being preached rather than the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in those churches, Bible churches are soul-winning churches. They're outreach to the community trying to win souls. But mega churches are in reach physically in people using praise and worship services, they call that, music, which really is more toward certainly not only contemporary, but rock and roll type music that I used to play in the 50s when I played with a band before I got saved. Bible churches are Bible teaches driven. Anyone who is a born-again child of God goes to a Bible church, it's Bible teaching driven. This is where we get the Word of God taught to us from. Mega churches, fellowship, social driven, fellowship with social driven programs. Bible churches grow by reaching the lost. Mega churches generally grow by attracting the dissatisfied people that may have religion or may not have religion. Bible churches, are church-oriented, and I believe biblically-oriented, for that's where we get information from the church. Mega churches, though, are ministry-oriented. Bible churches are built by Bible preaching doctrine, truths. Doctrine tells us some things about what we should be doing, so forth, and who God is, and all the doctrines of this book. But mega churches generally are built on praise and worship or some type of entertainment. Bible churches thrive on soul winning. At least in these days, they're trying to win souls. This makes them desire the study of the Bible. You can't go soul winning without having to study this Bible. Because Satan will see to it that you asked a bunch of questions that you wouldn't have anything to do about winning a soul, but you know you got to cross that barrier before you can get the gospel out to an individual. At time, mega churches, though, thrive on entertainment, which draws in the crowd, no matter who they are, anyone. We're in the soul winning business, not in the crowd business, though thank God for crowds that come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been in a few crowds, a few thousand people. People went there not to be entertained, but also to hear the Word of God proclaimed at that particular meeting. We study the Bible to fix people's lives, not just to have a sermon. Some people say, well, preachers just study for a sermon. No, that's not it at all. We have a sermon, but the studying is to hopefully help someone in their lives from a biblical standpoint. And I must be more concerned about results than I am about people's opinion, because opinions don't mean anything if it's against the Word of God. And I leave this thought with you. People's opinion in Noah's day was bad, yet Noah still wouldn't want out. I mean, they condemned him everything possible until the time the flood came. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this verse, my favorite verse, and I want you to listen carefully. It won't take but a few minutes. If you read this, I can do all things through Christ. Now look at this, watch this, and I want you to circle something in just a minute. It says, Paul said, as he wrote to the church at Philippi, I can do all things through Christ, watch this word, which strengthens me. Now, if you'll go look at any revised standard you can find, in our day, they changed that word, which to who.
That's right.
And they're saying, hey, it really doesn't matter. Oh, listen, it must have mattered because God inspired it to be which,
amen,
not who.
Amen.
And so here you say, but wait a minute, it's talking about through Jesus Christ, and who can do any better than him? You can't do any better than Jesus Christ. But you learn from these verses like this, when people begin to change the word of God, there's something behind that to deceive us. Now, when the Bible says which, it's important here. I can do all things which through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, turn with me to James in chapter 1 for just a moment. In James chapter 1, you know, and down about verse 22, 3, 4, and 5. James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let me understand that now. That is, he said the word of God is like a mirror. And you look in the mirror and you see something you should have fixed, you don't, you walk away, so I get it later. And he said you forget it and you walk around, people see it all day long. You won't see it again until you look in the mirror again. But he said, that's the way the word of God is. It's our mirror. He said, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if you are a hearer and not a doer, not a practice, not putting into practice what God says to do, you're like one looking into the mirror, knowing something, and yet not doing anything about that. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, watch this next word, for work, a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. And the person who is a doer is one who will look in the perfect law of liberty, continue therein, and being not forgetful here, he remembers what he's heard, what he's seen with his spiritual eyes, but a doer of the work. In other words, that doing of the word will become a doer of the work that God has called us to do, because that's the reason he reveals to us anyhow, to do the work that he's called us to do. Now, for other quick references, if you look with me also in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, notice what Paul said. He said, as he wrote to the church at Galatia, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Crucified with Christ, I've died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, when he said, I live, I understand that. The life I see Paul living is that which manifests the things of God. But he said, you see that life I live, but I want you to know it is not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see me, you see what I do, and if I don't submit to God to do what I know to do, you'll never see Christ in me. And he says, because of that, Christ, he said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And watch, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Also, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible teaches us that we have the mind of Christ. We have the potential to have the mind of Christ, which comes from the knowledge of this book. If you look also with me in back over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I understand that God is telling me that I have potential to have the mind of Christ through this book, but having the mind of Christ don't automatically make me do anything. I've got to be committed, submitted to what he wants me to do. I have to make that decision as much so as trusting Christ as Savior, that I'm going to give myself wholehearted unto him. And then anything people see, they may see me, but they're going to see Christ, because he's going to be behind that. Did you know you can have Christ and never do one thing for him? Did you know having Christ will automatically make us do one thing for him? Everyone in here, if you do anything for the Lord, you'll make a decision to do it. And I guarantee you, if you make a decision to do it, Satan will put all hell against you to keep you from doing it. He'll use everything in your path to get you to stop if he can. He don't mind what he uses. The only thing he wants to do is stop whatever God is doing through you and I. Now, when I see this, I can do all things. This is important. Notice, yeah, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, if I understand this correctly, the which doesn't refer back to Christ. He's the power. He's the source. It's the things that Christ helps me do that strengthens me. Go back again. I can say I can do all things which strengthen me through Christ and be just as accurate. But since he said I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, then our dead people come along the day and repeat, change this and say, wait a minute. It's talking about Christ who has the power. Did you know probably one of the things that's wrong with Christianity today is that they think that God has all the power and therefore if he don't do it through you, it won't get done. You can one day stand before him and have an excuse for it. God gives us the strength, but he don't make us do a thing. God gives us the strength, but he'll tell us what we need to do, and it'll be up to us to do just exactly that. Notice this. This is not who here, it's which. This is the doing of the things where we are strengthened as Jesus helps us do it. This is I learn what to do when Jesus helps me, I try to do it. But he'll not help me unless I put forth the effort to do it. Believe that, folks. Believe that. There's no way that Jesus Christ is going to help us do anything if we're just going to say, I'm not going to do it. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you this. He won't save you unless you trust him either. Some people think, well, everything in the end. We've got the idea that God is such a God of love. And by the way, I say that and I have to say to you that he is. But I'll tell you, he also has set up a system in his image that whereas we have a mind and a will, and he wants us to use that mind and will in light of what God shows us in his precious word. And so I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, but it's those things that I do where Christ gives me the strength. He strengthens me by the exercising of those things. See what Paul told Timothy? Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 with me. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, look down about verse 6 through 9. Notice what Paul said. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. Now, let me tell you, if Timothy did not put the brethren into remembrance, then these things would not have been done through his information. He had to obey God to do this for them to do what they had the enlightenment to do. Now watch, he said, but refuse profane and old wise fables. Watch the next phrase. And exercise thyself rather into godliness. Notice, exercise thyself. In other words, Timothy, if you don't do this, God's not going to do it for you. You've got to exercise yourself in that which you have seen. God will let you grow. God will let you grow in grace and knowledge. But you won't go but so far unless you exercise what you know in godliness. Then he says, but body exercise profiteth little. Most people think about that when you think about exercise. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, he says, and worthy of all acceptation. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not Christ doing things through us without us surrender to him. We have the power. It's there. It's available. But it will stalemate unless you and I surrender our lives to him. Now, he can make us robots, but he won't do that. These things that God has given us the potential, the power to do in Jesus Christ will strengthen us. We utilize the power to do these things, and these things will strengthen us in our faith to move forward to other things, to do greater things than we've ever done before, as we use the power that's available at that time. The Christian has Christ has already proved himself, so he don't have to prove himself through us. Amen. Christ don't have to prove himself through us. You say, well, Christ will just do it anyhow because he's got to prove it. No, Christ has already proved himself, and what Christ is saying, I will help you prove yourself If you'll do these things, they'll strengthen you. And they'll make you, they'll give you a backbone that's tough and hard, and in turn help you in your Christian life as you try to serve Him. Again, sanctification is cooperation, and this is a two-way street. God gives us His Spirit when we got saved. God keeps us through His Spirit. But everything you find in this book about what we do for Him, He tells us, He reveals to us, He gives us information, He helps us grow in grace and knowledge of truth. But if we don't surrender, as He said, I beseech you therefore in Romans 12:1 that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which He says is a reasonable service, that all that power that He has given us doesn't benefit us one bit if we're not going to do what He says do. But this is something missing. Could that be the reason why people have not the power to do what God says do? Because they're not doing what God says do. So what do? They run to these places to get filled with the flesh, satisfying themselves and thinking it's God. And going to wake up one day, the only way you and I can satisfy God is to do what God says do. He's not like men. He is God. In other words, if you go back with me and notice in Galatians 2 for just a moment, when Paul talked about I am crucified with Christ, it is not I without Christ. It is not Christ without I. It is I with Christ. This world can't see Jesus Christ. It can't see God and see the effect of God and see the effect of Jesus Christ at Calvary. It can see you and I, though. And when he see you and I abandon God with the power, with the knowledge that God says do, then they'll see him in us. But not if we're not obeying, if we're not in sync with what he's telling us that we should be doing. Again, many Christians are spiritually inactive today in their Christian walk. They expect Christ to do things through them without them submitting or doing anything themselves. Can you not see that? Can you not see that? I mean, you know, it's like we have a date with him on Sunday, and then when we leave, he goes one way, we go another, and we go about a day to task, and Lord, I'll meet you back next Sunday. That's not the way God wants. He never has had it that way. He wants us to understand we have a great, powerful source in us, we who are saved. And he wants us to understand he's willing to help us. I must say no to temptation, and I must say yes to God, asking Christ to help me to keep this up in by His Spirit until I get home to glory. Because I've got available power, but using it is one thing. The Holy Spirit, as we say, has us, or we have the Holy Spirit where it is. But most of the time, He don't have us like He'd like to have. To do what he says here, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I believe all things, the which is referring to these all things, which strengthen us as we use the power. You can't do that by yourself. I can't do this by myself. But if I use the power available, those things I face, those things that I do, those things that I prove to myself and others around me that sees Christ in me, God will move me from one level to the next. I believe that's the reason why you start out down, you get saved, and you move up into the church, and you know, just as God moves you in different places, you started out, you began to do what God said do. It was hard. Some people fall by the wayside because it's too hard and they never go no further. Don't you think that don't shame the name of Christ when that happens? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give an account to God one of these days, and it's so serious. And anybody, you know the reason why people hate ministers who preach this book? Because they're not going to obey this book, then they're going to get upset. If you're going to do what God wants you to do, you're going to have to do those things with the power of God's available. And when those things happen, they will strengthen you. The things you do will strengthen you to do other things for the glory of God. The word which here is an article with noun and adjectives and numerals. And it's used here because it is referring, I believe, to those things. You see, if you look at and refers just to Christ, then he's the power, but it don't mean you're going to do those things. And it's like someone say, well, you know, I just didn't got to understand, and though I had the power and didn't do it, then if God didn't do it through me, then I really have an excuse. But if he didn't do it through me, then I won't have to worry about doing it. No, the things are there which strengthens us. And it's the power of God, of Jesus Christ, that gives us the ability to do just that. The word here used is host, H-O-S. It's the relative pronoun in one form of its form frequently used. Now, I'll close with this illustration because I believe it all my heart. When the Apostle Paul talked about exercise thyself rather into godliness. This is like physical exercise. I understand that because we have some exercise equipment. It works real well. The power is there. I'm telling you, it runs like a charm. Everything that we do, that we have, can give us good physical exercise. But it won't do one thing unless I get on. It won't do one thing to help me physically. It won't benefit me one thing. I got power there. I know what to do. I should be doing it. And just knowing it's not enough, I've got to put myself in the act of exercising to benefit from that. My body will never get the benefit of physical exercising. The benefit does not come by just having the power to exercise, but by doing it. And I want you to know that's exactly what God is saying through Paul about spiritual power and spiritual work. These all things strengthen me when I do them, when I move forth to do them with the knowledge that God gives me by standing in this book. When I begin to do them, the power of Christ is available. And he's promised me that I wouldn't be alone to do them. The world may look at us like they didn't know in his day of the flood. But it don't matter. Because you know the source of power that God... You know you can't do it by yourself. You know you're not capable of doing it by yourself. We'd quit at the drop of a hat. We had to do it by ourselves. Because many things just don't make sense. So these all things strengthen me when I do them through the power of Jesus Christ. Christ's strength is there for me to do those things, whether I do them or not. Did you hear what I said? It's there to help me do those things, whether I do them or not. Thank you, Brother Ennis. I didn't think of that. Amen. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you've got the power if you're saved. I've got the power. It's to do it, whether I do them or not. Then why not, Lord, help me understand. I don't understand the exercise machine. And you may have an exercise machine worth $1,000. Let it sit in a room somewhere or another. If it's sitting in a room, you might as well sell it. Amen? It's to be used. But what God is saying, godly exercise is needed. We learn and then we move to practice, and when we do that, God said, he says, I'll strengthen you through those things you do. That's the reason he said, Paul prayed, 3 times, Lord, please remove this thorn in the flesh. And he said, Paul, look, son, my grace is sufficient for you. You'll be stronger with grace than having the thorn removed. That's his strength when you think we're down. God gives us strength, and it gives us victory in life to ourselves, if not to others. You and I can stand the tides of this land when the water rises and seems like we're going to drown about. And thank God I learned a long time ago, if Christ is the head and he's my head, you can't drown me. You can do a lot of havoc to me, but you can't drown me. God, you can't drown a person if you can't drown the head. Amen? I like what the lady said this morning, one of the men I talked about, the mother, she said, if God is my home, then no matter where I'm at, I'm at home when I leave, I'm at home when I die. I like that. Well, if he's our strength, then we stand in heaven one day. Our strength is the joy of the Lord, the Bible says. So this night, on this 44th anniversary, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I believe that those things I have to face, God has said, I'll strengthen you through them, son, because you have the power source, you have the energy of Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus has already proved himself before the Father. If you use the power available, then I'll prove you through him by what he proved himself if you just listen to what I have to say and practice it. But you got to stand this book to do it. You can't get it from the headquarters somewhere or another. You can't get it from the world. You're going to have to spend some time in this book my book, which the Holy Spirit inspired to write, and you have that Holy Spirit to understand, and whatever your talents are, when you surrender to me with the power that I've given you through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you surrender to me, then I will use whatever talents you have for my glory, and you'll understand that in that day.